I don't know if you've had the Republicans this week or not, the record, I mean.
Uh-huh.
But I remember this and this.
Oh.
This.
Uh-huh.
And I walked that many times. This is when they had the double-decker. And we went over one side and came back on the other.
Oh. Now, how long ago was that?
Oh, way back in 1925, 26.
Huh. And you could actually walk?
Oh, yeah, yes. We girls used to go over in the spring. Well, it was a lady over in Perryville that always sold geraniums. And it was about four of we girls that, when it was a nice Saturday, mm-hmm. and we'd walk the bridge, because you could walk, they had a bridge, they had part of it where you could walk and wouldn't be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And we used to take basket and go over there and get geraniums and walk back. Oh, that was grand.
Hmm.
Yes.
Now, what was on the, did you walk on the top or the bottom of it?
Well, no, we walked on the bottom.
Oh. Hmm.
Here's this?
Uh-huh.
See, that's where we walked.
Oh, I see. Huh. Well, did it have very much traffic on it?
Well, yes. We had the races at that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't dare walk the bridge when those races were on.
Why is that?
The cars.
Oh.
Well, they'd be strung from Union Avenue clean out to the racetrack. They'd start about 6 or 6:30, and they wouldn't let up till 8 or 8:30.
Hmm.
And if they had a big race, why, you better look out.
Had you ever gone to the racetrack?
I went once. I didn't remember because I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And but my father, he just loved them, and he was a coal dealer, R.W. Greenleaf, and my uncle and aunt raised me, and there's their pictures.
Oh,
Mr.
Yes.
and Mrs. Seneca.
Uh-huh.
My mother died when I was 2 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother kept me until I was going to school. And there was a young girl that lived up on Otsego Street, and she was going to school, and she was killed by the train.
Mm.
And they were afraid, because I just started school, they were afraid I'd get run over. So my aunt and uncle took me. My father would take me down Sunday afternoon, and I'd stay there until Friday, and grandmother would go to church and to the sewing circle they had, making aprons, sunbonnets, and all that. And then at 5 o'clock, when she went home, I went home with her and stayed with my father till Sunday. Then he'd take me back to Mr. and Ms. Seneca's, who was my great aunt and uncle, and he was superintendent of the Sunday school, and I'd go to Sunday school with him. And I just had a wonderful life and a wonderful understanding of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I knew Mr. Steve Williams, he took care of wills and one thing and another. And he was a personal friend of my uncle's. And Uncle Steve used to take Judge Van Bibber and Lawyer Williams and two preachers on his yacht every August on a fishing trip.
Hmm.
And but I just can tell you, I was invited over to Port Deposit last Monday to talk to the first graders, and I had the time of my life. I told them about the ice gorges and how people skated. Mr. and Mrs. Holly, they were an elderly couple, and my father used to skate from Howard Grace on up to Port and back again, and he had a great big heavy sled. How he pulled it, I don't know, but he'd take me and skate and bring me back.
Uh-huh.
And they were the good old days. You weren't scared to death like you are now.
Mm-hmm. What was it like with those ice gorges?
Oh, my soul. My uncle canned tomatoes, and he was down on, what is that street now? Well, the old railroad cut used to be, and the cars, the freight cars, used to come from the freight station down by Union Avenue and go all the way down to the Cannon House, and they'd load the cans of tomatoes, cases of tomatoes on there, and you could, and the office, whenever there was an ice gorge, he'd let people know that they'd look out the window. He had a window he could see, and it was, I remember as a child, it was wonderful. The ice would break up, and it would come down. It really was a lesson to a person. And the gorge, the ice gorge that they used to have up in Fort Deposit, people used to have to move from the first floor. Used to have to take their pianos on the second floor, and it was terrible. And whenever that gorge came, he had let people know. And to come down to the office and watch it come down from Fort Deposit, and go, and it just moved like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it break up. That was something to see.
Hmm. Would it come in on the streets in Happy Grace?
Well, it would come. It wouldn't come in on the streets, but along the shore.
Mm-hmm.
But it usually, when it broke up, there was enough current that it would move it down, but it would go so slow you couldn't see. It'd be days before that would get clear.
Did it happen very often?
Every winter. Every winter, the Fort Deposit people expected it. They'd have to move their living room, and if they had any extra rooms downstairs, they'd move all their furniture upstairs, because it would just be flooded. And that was something to see, that ice gorge. And it was something to see the people skate from Harvey Grace on up to port and back again.
Mm-hmm.
And elderly couple, Mr. and Mrs. Holly, they were really elderly. And they used to skate. They were considered the society skaters of Harvey Grace. And I knew them. I wasn't very old, but I remember them, and I remember the family. And some of them are still, the grandsons are still living. And it's wonderful. It's just wonderful to have been a child in the 1900s, and have the opportunity of experiencing the things that I've gone through. And I saw them for years and years on Union Avenue, where that's all a road now. That used to be where the freight train came in and went down to the water's edge to load canned tomatoes and come up. And they'd have to have a man down on Washington Street, a flagman, to hold the traffic. And I remember when during the races? No, it was in 19. When was that? In 1919. Anyway, I know I was in high school. Or in seventh grade, something like that, and we'd all gone to bed, and used to have men come and light the lights. Used to have the ladders, they'd bring their ladders and light the lights at night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the old bridge, and then we had footbridges, 1 footbridge here and 1 footbridge here. And here was a big bridge. And one night we heard a terrible crash, and a car was coming up Union Avenue, and it said to turn, and they turned and went down off of the bridge and turned upside. Oh, that was awful. I remember that. They kept me away from the window. Oh, but one of the neighbors had offered for him to bring the bodies up, but oh, they couldn't. And they had an awful time to get in that railroad cut. And but that was terrible. It said to turn, mm-hmm. But it was to turn up the next corner. Mm-hmm. And they turned right. Oh, that was terrible. Mm. That was terrible. And I remember, I tell you another thing that I remember is when it came springtime after winter, the latter part of March, they had a fishing shore down at Stony Point where the proving ground is now, and they had sheds, and they had, my father worked down there in the spring before he went in the coal business, and he used to work for Captain Billy Moore, and he used to have, oh, that was a sight to see these seines, and put them out, and when they, the people would go down to see it, when they bring that seine in and see all these fish and glisten, that was something, that's something you never forget. Mm-hmm. And same way with up here at Port, Spencer's had the same thing, and in springtime when they had cut in, what they call cut in, and when they get to, they'd catch the herring, and they didn't sell them. You could have all the herring you wanted, and you could go up there, and people used to come from Baltimore and go up there, and they used to serve fish dinners on the floats, and that was something. Those baked fish are like that, mm-hmm. And we'd have friends come up, and Mr. Charlie Silver, who was the president of the bank, and friends of mine ever since I was a knee-high to grasshopper, he used to take we kids on Saturday. He used to take us up there, and they wouldn't do anything with the perch, and we could have all those, and we could bring those perch home, and that was a lot of fun. And I'll be 83 in November, mm-hmm. And I tell you, God's been awfully good to me, because he's let me see every side of life. Mm-hmm. Mm. And everybody has been so wonderful to me, and for why I haven't done anything. Mm. I haven't done anything, but I love humanity. Mm-hmm. I just love humanity.
Mm. Well, where did you first start school at?
I went to school right here in Havre de Grace, and Miss Lottie Carroll was my first teacher, and I'll never forget it, man. I was the dumbest thing in arithmetic you ever did see. I couldn't get, well, she didn't make it plain. Several of the parents complained. She couldn't make it plain with an addition sign and a minus sign. Mm. And when I ought to add, I'd subtract. Mm. But I tell you, Miss Laura Tamney, and I know that you people have her name up in Bel Air. She was one of the most wonderful teachers I think I ever had. When you went in her room, you knew when you went in there. Now, she'd have you time to talk before school opened, but when that bell rang, you better keep your hands still and your tongue still, or you'd be writing, talking 100 times. Oh, she preached patronism. They don't do that now in schools. Mm-hmm. They don't teach patronism like she did. And every May at Decoration time. Usually the roses and peonies were out, and she would come dressed in white, and I can see her turning her white skirt up and putting an apron on and making bouquets. We'd take flowers. Oh, we'd take wagons of flowers to her, and she would spend that morning in making bouquets for the soldiers. And we'd march from the elementary school up to that cemetery and marched, and we marched back too. And we'd better not talk while we were up there. That was very, very sacred. Mm-hmm. And she had different boys to place these. It was beautiful. It's something you never forget. Mm-hmm. And they had flags on the graves, and they put these bouquets. And then when we got, I never will forget it. Even in high school, we did it. And Miss Sally Galloway, she was another wonderful high school teacher. And I know one before Professor Davis, he was our principal. And Miss Sally says, "Now you're not to drop out of line. You're to go up there and march back." And oh, it was so hot. And we marched back. She says, "You're not to get out and get any ice cream or anything like that." Mm-hmm. So Professor Davis was up there, and we were walking back, and the perspiration just rolling down. And so we asked him, and he says, "You all of you go in and get what you want." So when we went back, she heard it, and she called us down. Well, we said we got permission from Professor Davis. Well, she couldn't say anything then. And really, my school life, I never went to college because I didn't graduate from high school because I had trouble with my eyes, and I had to go to Baltimore 2 and 3 times a week. And but I made it up because I wouldn't exchange, and Mr. Professor Davis and Mrs. Davis to this day, he said, "Annie Sharp, I'm so proud of you." Said, you're one of, I'm not praising myself, I'm just telling you mm-hmm. what he said. He said, "I am so proud of you." He says, "The work that you've done, why," he's, and now look at him. He's just lying there in bed. Mm-hmm. And she's not well either. Mm-hmm. But when we went to school, why, we had the highest esteem for teachers, but now look at them. Mm-hmm. It's awful. Mm-hmm. It's just awful. I thought maybe you'd like to see this. This is...
Oh, thank you. Oh, boy. Let's see. Well, now, it says, you got a... some kind of award for outstanding senior citizen?
Yes.
And what's that? What is that about?
That's for my work in the for helping others all my life. When I was in high school, I used to have a little basket, mm-hmm. and my aunt was very, very, very good to me that way. She'd go down and see people at the hospital, and I would go down, and Reverend Mrs. Stewart, our minister, she's still living, he's passed on, but she had Tin Lizzie's, we called them, Ford car, and she used to take we girls in the junior league down every week to visit well, young people, mm-hmm. and then I got to doing it. And I had a little basket. I don't know what became of it. I think somebody took it. But I had a little basket and had top on it. And Boston Gilbert's father, and he had a store on the corner of Franklin Street and Main Street downtown. And I used to go down after school, and I'd get cigarettes, and I'd get candy, and I'd get chewing gum, and take my basket down and visit the children and the people. And there's two that I visited that I never will forget. This young girl, well, she was a little girl. She was, I think at that time, she was only 12 years old, and she lost her mother. She had two brothers and I think three brothers and two sisters. And she was the mother of the family. And she was taken sick. And she was down there. And her father didn't get in to see her. And, oh, she was awful sick. So I'd go down and see her. And every time I went down, I'd take her something. And Miss Sullivan was the superintendent of the hospital then. And she used to call me Annie. And she said, oh, Annie, you're so good. Well, I said, Miss Sullivan, I said, I can't now because the weather, I know, isn't permissible. But in May, I said, her father isn't going to take her home. And I said, she won't have any, she doesn't have anybody come take her out. And I said, when she gets able and it gets nice weather, could I take her out and walk up to Vandiver's Corner? I said, not the first day, but gradually. She said, yes, you can. And, oh, poor child, she was so weak. I could only take her from the hospital steps to the corner and walk her back. And, oh, it was the saddest case. I took care of her. And then I went in, and our minister's wife, Mrs. Stewart, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. There was the most beautiful baby lying in that bed I ever saw in my life. Not in her room, but in the children's. And I picked her up, and I was rocking her. And the nurse came in. She didn't tell me, but she told Miss Stewart. She says, you get Annie to put that baby back in that bed quick as she can. So she's got one terrible disease. And when she goes home, you tell her and you tell her aunt to see that she gets in a tub of hot water with disinfectant. And this dear little soul, oh, I love that child. And I'd take fruit down. I'd take cigarettes down to the men. And I went all over in the old, not, well, in this hospital too, but this was in the old Baker home. And the operating room was in the bay window part. Glory, I can tell you, I can give you chalk and spades on that.
What was the hospital like? Tell me a little bit.
Well, it was Captain Baker and Mrs. Mattie Sumption Baker's home, and it was a gorgeous home. And their bay window up on the third floor was the operating room. And then they had one great big room on the south side that they had about six beds in, and they were on that side and this side. Then there was you could walk between. Mm-hmm. And then on the second floor, they had private rooms, a WCTU room, and then another semi-private with two beds. Then they had, the back stairway went down this way to the kitchen. But back here was the, they had about six beds in this room, and they had six beds up on the third floor in that room. But this, in here, where the bay window, where the bay was, that was the operating room.
Now, did they have nurses and doctors?
Oh, yes. They had Amy Bevan. She was one, and Elizabeth Evans, And Mrs. Irwin, Dr. Irwin's sister, mother-in-law, and Elizabeth Evans and Amy Bevan, and who was the other one? Oh, there was a lot of them, mm-hmm. and it was just like a family. And Miss Sullivan was so wonderful, and they're in their business on the first floor. They had a big room and a big library table, and that used to be the doctor's and the nurse's room to talk over things. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have, I don't think, yes they did. They built on and back. You went in the front, and they had some rooms in the back, but they had a back stairway. Oh my land, you're scared death, because it was winding. Mm. But the nurses used to use it. But I tell you, it was a winding stairway. Mm. But that bay window, well, it's not there now, of course. But right up off of Union Avenue, that bay window, that's where they used to operate. Mm. And whenever we see that lighted up, why, you knew somebody was having an operation. Mm-hmm. And I went to there, and that's where I started this kind of work, and I loved it.
Hmm. That's something. Well, now, I'd also wanted to ask you about the red onion and green onion.
Oh, dear me. Well, that's precious to me, but I certainly don't like the name of it, because everything goes on there, and why the police don't stop what's going on there, I don't know, because it's heartbreaking to me. Because if my grandmother knew what was going on there, it'd break her heart. And the same way with that gentleman there. His brother, Uncle Robert Seneca, lived in what was called the Red Onion. And he used to belong to the, down in one of the statesmen from Maryland, and he was mayor at one time. Uncle Steam was mayor of Harrity Grace at one time. Hmm. He ran the second time, and Mr. Pusey won, but the first time Uncle Steam was mayor. And they have all these pictures of the mayors down in the council room. Mm-hmm. But Uncle Steam was a wonderful person. Years and years ago, and they had a shoe store, and it was called the Racket Shoe Store, and I never knew it until this year. And I can remember that store on the corner of Otsego and Union Avenue, as you came from the Avenue, and coming up at Otsego Street. My father had the White Chapel. He had a, before he had the coal business, when he married Mother, he had a candy and cigar store where Dolly May's place is, and it was called the White Chapel. Hmm. And, and 1/4 of July, they had a parade. And Papa went to Baltimore, and I don't know how many little parasols, it was real parasols too, that he didn't have. He went down to the Baltimore Bargain House and bought them, and they had a big parade, and that was in about 1901. But the Whitechapel, they used to have benches on the outside, and the men would go down there and sit there like crows and visit. Mm. And, my father was a good man. Mm. And so was, my uncle. He was mayor of the town. Mm-hmm. And they used to get barrels of sugar and flour and And they used to, in the big house where Dr. Walbert, that's where we lived when we were, when I, ever since, when the Depression came and the property was going down, while we, my husband and I, Dr. Sharp, he was the dentist here, well known. I was married in 22, had a beautiful wedding, and in fact, last Sunday was my wedding anniversary, and we'd have been married 52 years, and there's just so much in my life that I feel that God has really blessed me in every way, shape, and form.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, it said that you were born at the Green Onion House?
Yes.
Now, how did it get its name, Green Onion?
I'll never tell you, but I'm not proud of it, because I don't know why that the police don't stop them from running a house like that. If my grandmother could know that, it would grieve her heart to death, because she was a good Christian. Mm-hmm. She taught me my prayers. She taught me the hymns. She taught me everything. Everything she did was good. And that place is anything but good.
Hmm.
And they ought to shut it up.
Well,
Oh, yes, and across the street, on that street, well, that, on Otsego Street, on the corner of Otsego and Stoke Street, Margaret Hurtenrather and her aunt and her mother's name was Hurtenrather, and her aunt was Miss Mary Ward. She never married, but she had a little store that they used to keep bread. And Mr. Bake Dolt used to come around at 4 o'clock with his bake wagon, and she used to get rolls and cakes and things like that. Then the double houses that's there now, she owned.
Hmm.
And well, it's not a double house now. It's just a house, but that house is old. And that, and she owned that, and then Margaret Watts, she came heir to it. And next to them used to be Mr. Lighthizer, Richard Lighthizer's home, and then Howlett's home, and then what was the other? Touchstone's home, and they were there. Oh, they had to move those, all but Miss Mary's home, but the others they had to move when they put the railroad up
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember that, and the Lighthizer home is still up here on Ontario Street, on Otsego Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's up in the block where a grocery store, Atkinson's grocery store used to be. And that's been a grocery store ever since I can remember.
Hmm.
And Uncle Robert Seneca's home, that's called the Red Onion. I don't know why it was ever called that. And, oh, it was a gorgeous home. Aunt Cal, her name was Cal. She was an invalid. She had arthritis so terribly bad. And Uncle Robert, oh, he was a grand man. And Miss Clara Cochran, Dr. Cochran, who died, his daughter, and she lived with them for years and years until they passed on. Then she lived with Mrs. Street. And she lived to be quite an old lady. And, oh, that... Well, Uncle Robert's, and from his home down to the corner, that Otsego Street, the houses on this side, the last three houses between where he lived and Russell Reason and the Brooks property, that's all new. But Russell Reason's property, he was the one that had a feed store mm-hmm. on the corner. And he had bins. And the feed, he'd have in different bins, mm-hmm. and they'd come in. And then the blacksmith shop, oh, that was something. Mm-hmm. When they bring the horses to be shod, mm-hmm. you could see the fire where they melted for the horseshoes. And, oh, you knew that. And, Russell Reason's home, that's old. That's old. Well, Grandmother Greeny's home is old, too. And Mrs. Keefley, now Spencer's, Marie Spencer, and her husband own their home, but the Keefleys that used to have, her grandfather used to have a bake shop where, who was it that had the plumbing place there? But I can remember him. He was a dear old man, had real white hair, and he was a baker. And he always wore a white gauze shirt and white pants and a white apron and a hat. Mm. And he'd bake cookies. Oh, the cakes. He used to make diamond shape. And he made pies. And that was something. Mm. I just like... Oh, and I went to... they had me over to Northeast. No, over to Port Deposit last week talking to the fresh graders. Mm-hmm. I had a ball. Mm. They wanted to know about the ice scores, you know. Mm-hmm. And I told them about having this bakery and all. Mm-hmm.
What about the iron rail fences and, around Havre de Grace?
Oh, the old school, not these schools now, mm-hmm. but the old Havre de Grace school that had the steps. Oh, we didn't dare go up them. That was for the professor and vice principal and the teachers. We had to go all the way around the back or else go down. They had a basement entrance. You could go down that way and up the step, but you daresn't go up the front steps unless it's a teacher. You were walking with the teacher and she'd invite you. You couldn't go up there. If you did, you'd get punished. And that school, oh my, the basement, it was all white, and we used to have the water, running water in there, and then you come down the side steps like this, and here was a big room where you could play, and then you came out, and this door went to the furnace room, and then around to the boys' part, the boys' entrance, because you had the girls' entrance and girls' entrance, mm-hmm. and then we came all around, and we'd have come up the basement steps, but and you couldn't go up the front door, but you had to go around the side and either go in the basement and around or go all around to the side and get come up in the hall, and we daresn't come in until the bell rang.
Hmm. let's see. I wanted to ask about you spending weekends at your uncle's farm, Mr. J.T. Seneca.
S.J.
Oh, S.J.
Uh-huh. And that's him right there.
Oh. Now, what was his farm?
It was down at Stony Point. And he sold that farm to the Proving Ground. When the Proving Ground started, he sold that.
Hmm.
And but he had a wonderful farm, and he used to have a bungalow down there, and he had bunks in it. He had four bunks, and he had a stove, cook stove, and he'd go down there he gunned out here on the Susquehanna, but at fishing time, he'd go down there and the men, he'd take, his guests, he always took on his yacht. And, he was just wonderful. And he had that farm, Stony Point Farm, and he had a man and wife who was named Racer, and they farmed that until the proving ground came. And then he sold that for the proving ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he owned property. Oh, Uncle Steve owned where he lived, that big place of Dr. Walbert's, and he owned the Borneman Apartments, and he owned the double house where Mrs. Lauder lived next to the Methodist Church, and he owned property on Green Street, on Stoke Street. Oh, he was a large property owner.
Hmm. What about Robert Seneca?
Well, Uncle Robert, he owned his house on the corner of Otsego and what is that street that, I know it just as well as I know you. Adams.
Hmm.
And Miss Clara Cochran, Dr. Cochran's daughter, after he died, she went and lived with Uncle Robert in Nankow, and she stayed there until they had to give up their home. And she lived with Mrs. Street until she died.
Hmm. Was Mr. Seneca in the legislature?
Yes, both of them. Hmm. Now, Uncle Robert was, but Uncle Stephen wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But he ran for mayor at one time and was defeated by Mr. Pusey, Clarence Pusey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, now, how did you meet your husband?
Well, I tell you, I heard we're having a new dentist, and he was coming to church, and I didn't get introduced to him there, but there was an alley that we had a back gate, and I could go up to Mr. Good's store to do my marketing. And I didn't pay any attention. I'd go up there Saturday, and I'd see him. I'd see this gentleman coming down, and then I went to church, and I met him. We had something going on, and he'd been coming to church, and I said to one of the choir members, I said, we ought to see about him buying some tickets. So I had the tickets. And he was coming in from the station. And I said, I think you're the new dentist in Haverty Grace. And I said, oh, some of us have recognized you in church, and we're glad to see you. And I'd like you to buy a ticket from me. So I sold him a ticket, and that's the way it began. And, oh, he was a good man.
Was he from Haverty Grace?
No, he was from Canada.
Oh.
And I never met his people until after we were married. And, oh, I thank God every night of my life. What a wonderful family I got into. He had a cousin that married a preacher, and she was a singer. She had the most wonderful voice. And he had a cousin that was a doctor, a specialist on cancer. He's still living, but he's not in good health. But Mother and Dad Sharp came down to visit us. Mother Sharp was down two or three times, but she passed on. But Dad Sharp was down just a few years before Clifford passed on, and he died at our house down on Green Street, and he was at the dinner table, and he was a great tease. He was a lot of fun, and he was teasing some of the girls, the teachers I had, because I had a we had a rooming house on Owen on during the war on Green Street where we lived. I worked with the Mrs. Beckman in the USO. I was a member of that, and we used to serve dinners over there. But one day my son was in the Navy, and he came in, and some of these boys I had met coming in, and they were so homesick. And when I went home, I told my husband, and I said, "Clifford, I think it would be nice if on the weekends when the rooms are empty that we don't invite the boys over." So, he said, "Sure." So I went over, and one Saturday, and it was getting near Christmas, and we had them for Thanksgiving too, but this particular time I went over, and this one boy, he was so homesick. Well, I said, "I'll tell you what you do." I said, "I want you boys to come here every Saturday. There's three or four of you." And I said, "I want you to come over to the house, and I want you to come on Saturdays and stay until when you have to go back Sunday night." And we had that. That was the most wonderful thing. They enjoyed it, and we enjoyed it. And when they come in Saturday, they'd say, "Mom, we're here." And I said, "Well, you just go in the refrigerator and help yourself. I've got things in there for you." And then it came around Christmas time, and one boy, he said, "Oh, I am so homesick." He said, "This is the first Christmas I can't be with my mother." And so she always sings to me. She always has a song of a Christmas hymn she sings. Well, I said, "I'll tell you what you do." I said, "You call your mother and you talk to her." So that helped him. And that's the best work I ever did do. And I hear from them yet.
Yeah.
I hear them from them yet. Hmm. And I got some pictures I'm going to show you. Uh-huh. And one of the boys has been up, and his wife, to come up to see Bainbridge since they've turned it over to all this business. Mm-hmm. And they came to see me. And, mm-hmm. I was so glad to see them. But I tell you, it was a wonderful work, mm-hmm. and I just loved them. Mm-hmm. And we had them until the Bainbridge closed, mm-hmm. and I still hear from some of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show you some pictures.
Okay.
I'm a little bit stiff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Because I have to move.
Am I in your way?
No, indeed.
Okay.
I got them right here.
Oh.
I got them right here.
Let's see.
Oh, and I want you to see this. Maybe you know about it. I don't.
Okay, let me close this up. Oh, it's your proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And you see all my citations?
Yes, I
that's
do.
That's the first one, and that's the next one, and uh-huh. two over here,
huh.
And then my state one,
uh-huh.
and I'm so proud of them.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel like I deserve them. Indeed, I don't.
Huh.
Now look, there's a picture of my uncle fishing down south.
Oh, huh.
Down in the...
Uh-huh. Well, now, I'd also wanted to ask you about what it was like, you know, for your husband and you. Was he the first dentist that Happy Grace ever had, or?
Oh, no. Dr. Seeger was here. Dr. Pennington was here. Dr. Willis was here. And Dr. Kohler, mm-hmm. He and Kohler went to the dental, they were going to dental college about the same time. And Fred Kohler is a very good friend. Mm-hmm. But Clifford had, we had the cafeteria down in Florida for 14 years, and we got caught in, oh my, that was terrible. I don't know how we ever survived, indeed I don't, because we lost every penny we had. Mm. We didn't get a penny, and we had it in three banks. He wouldn't put all the money in one basket, he put it in three, and lost everything. And indeed, that was terrible.
Was this the Depression?
Yes. Oh, I never want to go. I've seen something I'd never want anybody to see. We had a home on 15th Avenue and in St. Petersburg, and we had the cafeteria business. And our chauffeur, and he came up, and he had taken Clifford down to, he went down early to business, and he came in about 9:30, and he said, Miss Sharp, he said, Dr. Sharp wanted me to come up and tell you that the banks are closed. I said, what? And so I got ready and went down, and he had been up and got his change, and made a deposit.
Mm-hmm.
He took his deposit up, and he went back down and opened up for breakfast, because he went down about 5:30, and then went up at 9 o'clock to get his change. And he was going back, and one of our friends met him and said, where are you going? He says, well, I'm going up to the bank. I got to get some change. He says, no, the bank's closed. He says, oh, it can't be, because I've just been up there. He says, Dr. Sharp, it's closed. And that poor man had taken a checkup, and he didn't have a penny.
Mm.
And, he says, I don't know. He said, it can't be. I just went up there and made a deposit. So we went back up, and sure enough, it was closed. And that made it terrible. Oh, that was awful. I never want to... Old people, that the line was clean around the square, and just pulling their hair out. Oh, it was terrible.
Mm.
And so then, of course, we couldn't do anything. We didn't have money enough to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought the best thing was to get home. So we turned our Pierce Sarah in, and we got money enough so that we could get a cheaper car and come home. Indeed, that was terrible, and we didn't know which way to turn. But we felt so thankful that we had our business up in New Jersey, because in wintertime, we had it in St. Petersburg, and then we had a cafeteria up in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to do grand up there. We don't have only about 6 weeks business, but we did as much up there that summer as we did down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all winter we did good.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we came home, he said, well, it won't be too bad, because we'll have the cafeteria up in New Jersey. So he got things straightened out, and he went up, and the man that he always dealt with, he said, oh, Dr. Sharp, he says, don't worry, he says, yeah, you can have the place. And he said, well, I want to, he said, but we can't help you in painting. And Clifford said, well, that's all right. He said, we'll get the painting done. And he came home and he said, you come back next week and I'll have your papers all fixed up. In a week's time, the man that he always said, oh, he was a grand man, he had had a heart attack and died. And when Clifford went back, there was another man had come with $12,000 of rent, and he got it, and we lost that. So he was pretty, it pretty well done him up.
Mm-hmm.
So then he went into diner business, and he did pretty good in that. And then where he had the diner, they moved the racetrack. Well, then they didn't do any work. Well, then he came back, and one of my friends said, why don't you go down to Prune Ground? Said, I'm sure you could get in down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I don't know. Well, she says, you go down. And he went down, and he passed everything till it came to his physical. And they said he had Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he found out. But he kept saying to me, when we go out, take a little walk in the evening, he said, I'm walking off. I said, no, you're not. He says, yes, I am. So from that on, he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, then the roomers left. They married, and I didn't want to take any new ones on because a class of people were coming to the door. I didn't want to take in with a sick husband.
Mm-hmm.
So then the children said, Mother said, just sell your home. Just sell it. And what you get out of it, come up and build on. So that was a bedroom there. And this part, we built on.
Mm.
And then I didn't get it finished the way I should. I don't know where the man, he left me in the dish. And I've had it pretty hard, but I've got grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
My son and daughter, and my son-in-law and daughter-in-law, they're just, well, I don't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got so much to be thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
So God let me have, I couldn't get myself together. And the children said to me, said, Mother, said, you're not, you ought to get out. I said, you just leave me alone till I get myself settled. So I waited till Holy Week in 67. He died in January over at Perry Point.
Mm-hmm.
I never missed a day that I put him in there because I took care of him home till I couldn't take care of him because he had the stroke, fell on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we entered him, and I was very glad that he could enter Perry Point.
Mm-hmm.
And I visited him. I went over every day. I never missed a day.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get home till 9 o'clock. And when he left me, that made a big hole in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, Mother, you ought to, you're not getting out. I said, you just leave me alone till I get, said, we'll get you an apartment in town. Now I said, listen, that's silly. I said, here I sold the home and the money I got from it, I put in this to add on.
Mm-hmm.
Now I said, don't be silly. And I said, you just leave me alone. So when Holy Week came, I went down to the Grace Reformed Church, and from there I went down to the nursing home, and they said they were talking about they ought to have someone to visit, and I said, well, I'd love to have some work to do. So I started in there, and I've been going there ever since.
Hmm.
So that's the way things go.
Uh-huh. Well, now, let's see. Did you raise your family in Harford County, or?
Indeed I did.
You did?
Indeed I did. Huh. And my son graduated from Harvard Grace High School, and Jean did too. And then he was called to war, and then came back and had TB. And then that was before his father was living then. Mm-hmm. And he had TB. He was married, and after he came from the war, he met, when he came home, I never will forget, it was in September. Mm-hmm. And I didn't tell him I was going to take school teacher, and I had to put my name in that I could take two. Mm-hmm. So one of them came on a Saturday, her mother and father came down, and they were very much pleased with their place and for to get in, and I served meals and all. So I said, now I don't like the room I'm going to show you, but I'll have a better room. And I said, I'm going to have another teacher. And I said, I can make a better price to you if they take the room, because I've got a large double bed. And I said, I can put another bed in too. So anyway, she took the back room until Jackie came. So on the day that they were to come to move in, Steve came home to lunch, and he said, Mother, I hear you're taking school teachers. Well, I said, I called up and said that if they had any, I'd be willing to have two of them, room and board. And he said, well, you didn't say anything. Well, I said, I don't believe in counting my chickens before they're hatched. So when he came in at supper time, Jackie, his present wife, came to the door, and oh, she was a perfect lady. And her sisters both were teachers in colleges, and Helen was teacher at Western Maryland. In fact, she was principal, and Nell was down in Virginia, down in Petersburg. And anyway, they came, and that night, why, of course, they were there for dinner, and the boys, they had a big time. Mm-hmm. Well, they were taking them out to a ball game and all this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And Steve was going with some girls. They were very nice, but they weren't his type. And I said, if you go with somebody like that, I'd be happy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say any more. After a while, the other one, Betty got married Pitcock, one of the Pitcocks, together. Mm-hmm. And Jack, he was going with Betty, but he couldn't keep going because he had another girl down in Virginia to get to her ring. Oh, we had a time. So when February came around, Betty got there. She came down. She said, Annie, have you seen Jackie? I said, no, I haven't been up there to see her. Well, so you just go up and see her. Said, I just knew she'd beat me for all I've been working to get that diamond ring. And I went up, and Steve had given her a diamond ring. And oh, he couldn't have gotten into a finer family. Both of her sisters, well, Helen was way up. She was in Western Maryland College. Mm-hmm. She was the principal up there. Mm. And the other one, and both of them died with cancer. Mm. But oh, she is grand. Mm-hmm. So I've got a lot to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. I got an awful lot to be thankful for.
Mm. Well, now let's see. How What has changed about Have the Grace, do you think?
Well, let's see. Well, when I was coming up, the park, oh, we used to have such wonderful things at the park. Our Sunday school used to have their picnics down there, and they, to entertain the children, they had excursion boats, and they used to have excursions, but it got too high, too expensive, so they would entertain the children at the park. They'd have boats come, have people that had boats come in at the wharf down at the park. They'd take them for a boat ride, and they'd take them for a car ride. To go in a car would be wonderful. You'd put five or six in the car, and they'd take them around the town. And that, and then in the evening, we all took our baskets of lunch, like we used to go down to Talchester.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lovely time. And, oh, the park, we used to be able to go down there and enjoy it, and now it is awful. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any place that we can go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people used to come from people used to come from Baltimore up here and go to the park.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that now.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first car that you saw in heaven?
Yes, sir. I never will forget that. Mr. Richard Lighthizer had a Ford car, and I'm telling you, that thing was that high, and you used to have to put curtains up in it.
Huh.
And the first he took my aunt and I for a ride, and he went down to Stony Point. And believe me, it was Stony Point. You never talk about a rocky road to Dublin.
Hmm.
But I never will forget it. And he used to take. They used to always take her to the cemetery, and it was a Ford, but and brass on it, and Mr. and Mrs. Silver, they had a Overland car, and oh, Elizabeth and Bartle and I were such good friends, and she used to come in and get me, and Mr. Silver, if it was going to look like rain, put these curtains up, hook them on, you know, and then have to unhook them. Oh, dear.
What about the telephone? Did you always have a telephone?
Yeah, we always had telephone, but we had one that had a box, and you had to wind it
mm-hmm.
to get it.
Oh.
Yeah, you didn't have it like this to raise it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we used to have one. I used to have one in the bedroom that was that big, hung on the wall, and then you round it,
mm-hmm.
and but not like it is now.
Mm.
And but on Uncle Stephen's desk, he had a box phone that you could wind it, and but not like it is now.
Mm. Were the streets pretty much the same streets as? Or have they made a lot more?
Oh, they made a lot more.
Mm.
It used to be so muddy.
Mm.
And I can remember when they put the Macadam Road on Otsego Street, that great big old steam engine, and all these stones, they'd have piles of stones ever so, and tar,
mm-hmm.
and they put tar and then stone and then tar and then stone.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing was noisy. Mm-hmm. They used to have two steam engines,
mm-hmm.
one at this end, Otsego, and one at this end. And they did, when they did Union Avenue too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when, oh, the three bridges, I remember when the car went down that cut. Oh, that was awful. Came in, said to turn, and that car went down. One man was killed outright, and they had a terrible time getting his body because they had to take the ambulance down underneath the, because that was the railroad, see.
Mm-hmm.
And that was terrible.
Hmm. Did people like to go in, like, swimming and
oh, my land. Well, why, we used to go down here and off of, well, down at the park. My husband used to go down there and get fish, and he'd go fishing. He loved it.
Hmm.
And you could go and not be molested by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it, when he come home from Florida, he had a little rest period before we opened up the cafeteria in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to take the children when they were small and take them down to the park. Used to have playground down there.
Mm-hmm.
They had the balls and, oh, I don't know what on. They used to love it down there.
Mm.
And we used to have boathouse. Oh, we used to have boat races, too. They used to have a yacht club down there by the park. Yeah, they used to have a clubhouse.
Hmm.
They have, of course, they have the boats now, but this was different. They had a regular clubhouse. And the Bayou Hotel. Oh, my land, we used to have a ball down there. Go down there and have dances and have clean fun and everybody having a good time. Now what do we do? We don't have anything in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so much dope around.
Did you ever go into, say, Bel Air while you were growing up?
Oh, yes, but if you went to Bel Air, that was a trip. We used to have, when they had the fair, when they used to have the Harford County Fair,
mm-hmm.
Murray Lauder had a great big truck. And I know my aunt and two or three of the ladies used to go. They used to sit up front. But we kids used to get in the back in this truck. And, oh, that was fun. And then go to Bel Air and, oh, dear goodness, that was a lot of fun.
Hmm.
And,
did you ever take the railroad as a passenger?
Oh, my dear. Well, we used to, when I was married, one Christmas, I'll never forget this. The Crawford girls and Lawson Gilbert's sister. And I don't know, I think there was about six or less girls went down on the 9 o'clock train. And they used to have a fast train, then the accommodation train followed after that. Well, we got on the train, and the conductors got so they know us. So we get off in Baltimore, and we'd just stay in and but come up on the evening train. And I'll never forget it when the Christmas before I was married, I was being married in February, Lawson Gilbert's sister, and I went down, and when we came home, we had our arms full, and my husband, wasn't then my husband, but he met us with the car, and we had the biggest time,
mm-hmm.
and well, yeah, we used to go on the train, and the girls, one of their husbands met them and took a crowd, and Clifford took Grace and I and someone else, I forget, but I know we had a car full. Oh, we used to have a ball.
Hmm. What about, do you remember much about Prohibition?
Oh, indeed I do. Oh, before Prohibition, oh, it was awful. Up at my grandmother's home, we used to have a fence. They don't now, but they had a fence because Papa had a stable, and he rented the stable out to someone that had a horse and cart,
mm-hmm.
and that was awful. They used to have a saloon, Sirik's Saloon. At Sirik's Saloon, Whalen's Saloon, Cobb's Saloon on what is that street? off of Union Avenue. Not Adams Street. What is that street? It's off of Union Avenue. It comes right out from the, what is the name of that street? Never to forget it. Union Avenue, Otsego Street, and not Adams. Is it Adams? No, it's not Adams.
Stokes?
No, Stokes Street comes this way. Here's Union Avenue, and then here's the Main Street. But this street, what is that name of that street? The American Legion on Union Avenue, and then you come out from American Legion at the side, and you go right at that street.
St. John?
No. Yeah, St. John's. And there used to be a saloon on every corner where the county bank is. That had a saloon.
Mm.
And then there was one right next to it. Then you went down to the corner with Spencer's. Then you went on down. There was more saloons than you could shake a stick at.
Mm.
And we used to have the drunks would come, and many a time grandmother's got a stick and got them off the front porch.
Mm.
That was awful. And then they used to come in their buggies and the horses and hitch them to the hitching post, and the poor horses in winter time would be so cold, and the men would get in so drunk, and the horse would take them home.
Mm.
That's the truth. But that was awful. You didn't see so many women drunk, but oh dear me, the men. Because it was a saloon on every corner.
Well, then after Prohibition, was it pretty dried up that no one could get liquor, or did they
they'd get it.
Hmm.
They'll get that one, won't get food. Oh, it was awful. And I used to be scared to death of drunken man. And they used to have Whalen Saloon and on Stokes Street next to Mr. Reason's feed store.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Reason had a feed store.
Mm.
And then the blacksmith shop, McVeigh's blacksmith shop, that has been turned into apartments. It was a store, a grocery store, but used to take their horses there and shoe them, and you could see where they had the fire to fit the horseshoes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that made a noise.
Mm-hmm.
And the hose fire, the firehouse was next to grandmother's house, and that was just a two-wheel thing and wound the hose around. The men used to come and have to pull that thing. They didn't have horses.
They didn't?
No.
Huh.
The men used to pull that thing. Later on, they got a hose wagon that to put the hose on here, and it was yellow. I can see it just as plain as day. Not like they have now. And they had a step in the back, and then they had horses.
Hmm.
To pull it.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of times the men would pull that thing when they were used to ring the bells to notify us when there was a fire, the Catholic bell.
Mm-hmm.
and the St. John's bell, and they used to say, I'd say, Papa, where is it? Because I was scared to death, little king.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd say, it's out in Dunton's Woods. And that's out here someplace, at Dunton's Woods.
Hmm. Did you enjoy growing up downtown and have a great...
Indeed, I did. I had a good time. We had good times. We could go out. We could go out in the evening. Some of my girlfriends now say, look what we used to do, and look what we can't do now.
Mm-hmm.
while we a Levy store, and Lyons drugstore, and where the beauty shop is on the corner of Franklin Street and St. John Street. That used to be Zyker's drugstore, and they used to have two old big old things with brass handles or a handle on either side and colored water in them for a drugstore.
Mm.
And you used to go to Mr. Lyon and tell him when we kids would get sick, the parents would send them there and ask him to give the child a cocktail. And that used to be castor oil in the sarsaparilla. Oh dear Lord.
Mm. Were there lots of children to grow up with around?
Oh yes, and we used to have good times. The children down on the point used to come up, or in Middletown, or and in the country, by the Madison Mitchell. Oh, we used to have grand times. And Herb Coburn. The children don't have times now like we did.
Mm.
It was good, clean fun. And we used to have, every Friday night we'd go to some, we weren't allowed to go during school days, but Friday nights and Saturdays,
mm-hmm.
if you got your lessons, if you didn't get your lessons, you couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all made right that we got our lessons. But, we used to have good times.
Mm.
And our parents were, they always had refreshments or something, and used to play spin the pie pan and a post office and all that kind of business. And then in the springtime, that was something, Easter Monday, to go out in the country and pick wildflowers. We used to walk up the Earlton Road, up to Earlton Road, and come down this way.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. But you don't dare walk on this road now.
Mm-hmm. What about the 4th of July? What did they do for them? Do you remember anything?
Oh, yes. Yes, we always had, everybody had fireworks. And they always had baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Always, in the afternoon, 4th of July, you always had baseball. And then at night, everybody had their own fireworks.
Hmm.
Yeah, everybody's neighbors, and they didn't have the city didn't have them, but the families, everybody laid in fireworks.
Hmm.
And,
don't want to have left out anything.
That will knock over.
Okay, I want to see if I connect. Is there anything else that this writes about that we don't know about?
Oh, in the Catholic Church on the corner of, what is that street? Stoke Street and Adams. Father Fitzgerald, I can remember when he worked on building that new building, the Catholic Church that's here now.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. What's a modern Dorcas? What's that about? Do you remember?
Me.
What does that mean?
Well, she took care of the sick, and that's in the. Oh, what book in the Acts? And I had to ask about that, but that's what they call me.
Oh, well, let's see. What's your scripture that you live by?
Let your light so shine among men, they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
And that's sort of what you've lived by. And let's see, this talks about a chair where your name is carved in the arm of your, let's see. No, that's your children's names are carved in a chair. Where is this?
I don't know where it is now, but I know it was carved in.
Huh. I think we've covered a good bit. You've told me so much. I'm overwhelmed. Well, you've gotten so many different awards from the state and the county and all. Does that make you feel...
I tell you the truth, I think they've overdone it with me.
You do?
Yes, I do, because I don't feel like I've done that much.
Well, how, you know, you seem to be so unselfish about giving of yourself to, you know, helping others.
Oh, well, this was taken down in Florida.
Oh.
This is a... that was my uncle's home down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed, I got it in there where how they pick oranges too.
Hmm. Now, why did you decide to go down to Florida?
Well, I went to see my uncle and aunt. It took me, the first time I went to Florida was in 1908. My uncle went down, and I had whooping cough, and I was homesick. And he went down to look for a place,
mm-hmm.
and he had this home was being built,
mm-hmm.
and he went down, took Mr. Sentman, his engineer, the boat down,
mm-hmm.
and they went down in December. Oh, they went down in October and came back in December, and he had this home in 1908. We went down there,
mm-hmm.
and I went down for until I was in high school. Then my eyes got bad. Then I had to stop.
Mm.
And he had that. Now this is my aunt. She was feeding the squirrels.
Oh. Huh. Very beautiful down there.
And this was my mother's mother, mm-hmm. and her father and cousin and my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my aunt, and this is Uncle Stephen,
mm-hmm.
and that's my grandmother that raised me,
mm-hmm.
and that's Uncle Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope I haven't bored you.
No, it's been very interesting. You've really had so many things to tell, and I don't want to cut you off, but we've talked about so many things. I'm really surprised at all the details that you remember about Have the Grace.
Oh, I can really tell you some tales. I really can. I'll take these off of your lap. But I just love to talk about Have the Grace because dear to your heart are the scenes of your childhood,
mm-hmm.
and mine are dear to me. And Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Parker, they used to be he used to be a plumber here, and they lived right next door to my aunt and uncle. Well, she was just like a mother to me. So she was pregnant the same time mother was, and I think I was born first. But however, she was always very dear to me, and she said that mother worked. Oh, Oh, the corner where the bridge comes over at the, you come down Otsego Street and make that turn into Union Avenue or what's the street? The main street, the business street, where the American Legion is. There used to be a store. Where the bridge was, there used to be a store. Mm-hmm. And it was called the Racket Store. I never knew that until this year, till I forget who it was that told me. And they used to have a roof, a tin roof, mm-hmm. that went around. Mm. And my father used to, from the Whitechapel, the store, he used to come home at noon, and I'd watch him when he come around that corner on his bicycle. Then it was bicycle days. Mm-hmm. And then Mr. Currier, they lived up on Otsego Street, and Mrs. Currier had, they had cows. Oh, and oh, I don't tell you this, where the Van Cherry Apartments is, that used to be known as a Harford House. That used to be the head place for sportsmen to come in ducking season from New York. They'd come down on Fridays mm-hmm. and go back on Saturdays, and they'd have their ducks. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Boyd used to have a boat, and people used to come down, and he used to take them from Harvey Grace down to the Battery to see the spawning of the fish.
Mm. Mm, that's amazing.
And then we used to have a lot of fun moonlight night, Old Susquehanna, Kitty Night, and Annapolis. One of the three used to come up and stop here at 6 o'clock mm-hmm. and pick us up. We could get on the boat and we'd go up to port. We'd get an extra ride, then come back, they'd stop and take us down to Batterton and then bring us home at 10 o'clock.
Huh.
That was fun.
Uh-huh.
We had good, clean fun.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can't do it.
Mm.
You're just scared. I was in a taxi night before last, and my taxi said that one of my taxi drivers, he had been robbed and took every cent he had and had his life threatened with a knife.
Mm.
And they didn't get him. They said they will get him, but that's awful. You're scared to death.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, I certainly have enjoyed talking to you.
Well, may I take your picture?
Yes. Where do you want to take it?
Well, wherever, you know.
Well, where do you want it? I mean, where do you think it'd be a good place?
Well, let's see. Well, right here. You know, if I open the door, it'll be a little more light.
All right.
Okay. It feels like it's turning a little cooler.
Well, that's all right. I'm afraid I've talked to you just
a little. No. Would you mind sitting here instead, so then I will have a little better background? I feel like you've been sitting so long. Talk to me.
I get stiff anyway.